Brother Kyle, if you wouldn't mind. Does God not know who we are? I believe God does. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 13. I had to be careful not to yell into this thing. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God knows who we are. God knows who you are, New Testament church member. God knows if you are walking with him faithfully and truthfully, or if you are walking outside of his will and his way. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. We can stand here all day and play charades, but I'm not going to play charades with you. God will deal with you. Jude, verse 3. Because we have, you know, it was brought out by Brother Dale, you know, and he's talking about all these false individuals that come into a New Testament church, these raving wolves, and thankfully that's what we had here today. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." There is no other truth. There is no other Bible for us to read. It is one faith. Ephesians chapter 4. Turn with me over there. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, 1 through 6. Might as well. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all." If anybody comes to you with any other doctrine, you show them this. There is none other way. For some odd reason, we seem to think that today that it is okay to listen to podcasts and base our life off of social media and all these other things. John chapter 10, turn with me there. He says in verse 7, he says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. If any man come up some other way, he is a thief and a robber." If you are in God's house today, and you are not part of his body, and you claim to be, you are a thief and a robber, my friend. We have to examine ourselves, examine the body. Job chapter 38 here. And what is it that we have to do? We have to be men. We have to stand on the doctrines of Christ. We must examine ourselves in the Word daily. Verse 1, he says, "Then the Lord," in Job 38, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer, thou me." Are we standing? Are we ready to give an answer? Life gets hard, life gets tough, so be it. You better be ready to give an answer. God is waiting, and he's not going to wait for forever. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. "Study to show thyself," verse 15, I apologize. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." I hope that's none of us in here. We need to be solid and founded on that solid rock. There is no other foundation that is laid than Christ Jesus. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Do we know that? I hope so, because there's many brethren, there's many folks out there that want to hit me with some random questions that try and throw people off course and try and see where they sit with doctrine. I'm telling you right now, you need to be ready to answer. Romans 14. Because there's a day that we're going to have to stand and answer to the Lord as to what we were able to do here. In verse 7, he says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." You have an appointment, my friend. We all have an appointment. We have to stop relying. Oh, man, I'm going to get on a soapbox. Hold up. We have to stop relying on a pastor to be the sole person who stands in a New Testament church. It is made up of many members. Studying to show yourself approved unto God is you studying to show yourself approved unto God. I hate to say it, brother. If brother Roger were to pass away today, you have to stand. You have to choose who the next pastor is that will lead this church. Are you ready for that? 1 John chapter 1. So I think many of us say, "Yeah, I'm ready to stand, brother. I've always been ready to stand." And I think many of us are like Peter. When that time comes, we fold. Verse 6, he says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Do we know what the word of God says? It says right here, if you believe that you are walking in the light and you are not doing those things that God has asked you to do, my friend, you are in darkness. You can't serve God and mammon. You have to hold to one. 2 Timothy 4. Now to get into the real stuff, I guess. Oh, that was a soapbox. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 here. He says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Come up here with me to chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. He says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Yes, I understand that it is more important for us to stand on salvation and baptism, but all doctrine, all scripture is given by God. All. We need to understand that all is important. We stand on all of it. We need to have the same mind in Christ. If there's any division, we need to figure that out. If you are that part of the division, you need to search yourself out. Galatians chapter 6. But what are we supposed to do with those that oppose themselves? What are we supposed to do with those that choose not to walk after the very word of God which he has given us and turn unto some fables? Brethren, verse 1. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And verse 9 is the one that I love. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We will reap. What are you sowing? I hope it's not tares. We need to be sowing those things which are spiritual for the Lord's sake. Ephesians chapter, we already read that. 1 John chapter 5. I jumped ahead of myself. 1 John chapter 5. In verses 1 through 3, he even five. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So then the question is who makes his commandments grievous? We do. When we don't want to follow what God has to say. A lot of the times we say, oh, I have a problem with the clothes that I wear. I have a problem with things in my life. Well, brother, I'm telling you right now, are you studying? Because it's the inward man that needs to change first. Because then the outward man will show forth those things. If we love God, we will put him first. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. He says, we love him because he first loved us. And if a man is willing to give his own life for you, how much more should you be willing to give your life for him? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 13, he says, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Are we ready to live for the Lord? Are we continuing to live for the Lord? Romans, the sixth chapter. Romans, the sixth chapter. Oh man, it is kind of hot up here. Verse 1, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. The like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We need to be putting off that old man. Do not return back unto that sin. 1 Chronicles 7:14 is one of those, tells us that we need to turn away from those things and turn to Christ. There is a reason why we have to turn away, because we're not to turn back. The old man who we are has passed away. Let all things become new. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse 17, he says, This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Are we putting on that new man? We have to continually search the scriptures every day. John 5, 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life. For they are them which testify of me. Are we looking for God, or are we looking to please ourselves in this life? a little dry up here, I'm not going to lie. Romans, turn with me to Romans, the 15th chapter. Romans, the 15th chapter. In verse 1, he says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, for even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Wait, hold on. It's not by my friends. It's not by my mom and my dad. It's by God. It's by the Word. And for some odd reason, we don't like that. We like to get into other things. I like to look on social media all the time and scroll through YouTube shorts. That's not God. Bump into those dumb videos that say, God meant this for you to see today or something like that. Immediately skip that. If it's not coming from the Word of God, it's not God. Got these TV show radio hosts. I don't know all those people. All these people. I don't know. Brother Nate goes off on them all the time. I don't know who they are. Joyce Myers. It's not God. That's man. Are we seeking God or are we seeking man? God knows. Hebrews chapter 9. When you became a New Testament church member, you put your hand, you signed that covenant, you signed that contract with the Lord saying that I will do those things that you've asked me to do. Verses 19 through 20. He says, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. And saying this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. It was necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth in to the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And that covenant was in his blood. And we agreed to that. Turn with me to Matthew. the 26th chapter. Verse 26, he says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That covenant stands, and that blood stands. Do we hold true to that? Romans tells me that I sin every day. But do we go to God to be cleansed? Because God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have a true and faithful God. One that died on the cross for my sins and your sins alike. One that bought you with a price. Acts 20, 28. Not only did he buy everybody in the world, but he bought his church. And how much more precious is it to be a part of that? Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. What a joy. He died for our sins that we could live with him. And he purchased us. Do we hold true to this stuff? Or is this just a game? There may be some lost souls in here that pretend to be a part of a New Testament church. You think that God doesn't know who you are? There are members here, maybe, that are in sin. Some that need to go before the church. Do you think God doesn't know who you are? He knows every hair that is on your head. Your sin is open to him. We need to understand that. We can't hide from God. Amen. Again, you can hide from me. You can't hide from God. I can fool everybody in here, but I can't fool God. Exodus, the 24th chapter. We don't really need to read that, do we? Yeah, we'll read it. God knows if we study, if we pray, if we hold true to his doctrine, if we're out preaching the word. Because he's God. How cool is that? Exodus, the 24th chapter, verse 8. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. That's cool. Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Has God not given us rules and commandments? Has God not given us words to live by and things to do, and yet we do them not? In verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou filledest not, and wells digged which thou diggedest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Hopefully we aren't forgetting who God is. Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. This is where things get kind of ugly. Verse 30. We've been talking about all these covenants, all these things, all these commandments, and how important it is for us to keep God's commandments. Do we? We say amen a lot. I can't tell who does them. Verse 30, he says, also thou, son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but with their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. I hope that's not you. James chapter 2. James chapter chapter 2. In verse 22, he says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. 1 Peter. We need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We need to make sure that we're actually living the life that God has asked us to do. We need to make sure that we're upholding that covenant which we so much agreed to. 2 Peter, I lied. I apologize. In verse 4, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. What a promise. What a promise. What's something to hold on to? Add to your faith. Continue in the Lord. You won't fall. Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. I think we have, well, turn with me to Proverbs, the 1st chapter, and then we'll go to the 3rd chapter. Verse verse 7. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head, and chains about thy neck." Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 here. We'll actually read down a lot more. He says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all things acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Turn with me over here to Proverbs, the 21st chapter. I say all that because every man is going to say amen. Follow the words of the Lord, and amen, brother, amen. Verse 21, or chapter 21, verse 2. "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." Chapter 20, verse 24. It says, "Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way?" In chapter 19, verse 3. I'm jumping here. Sorry. Give you guys more time to keep up. I'm trying to not be so fast. 3, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." We say amen, but are we walking right? Do we actually hold true to the doctrines of Christ? If you want your life to be better, then you actually have to hold to the doctrines. You have to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And how many of us read that verse over there that says, "Mark them that walk among you"? Is it visible when somebody is not walking right with God? A lot of times it is, or God wouldn't have said it. I love that. Can I be that individual? Absolutely. Can you be that individual? Never say that you can't be. 1 John chapter 1 first. I don't know where I'm at. Well, there's no clock. Okay. Verse 2. He said, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." May. You have an opportunity for it to be full. You make that choice. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 here. It says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." We have a life that we're supposed to live. A lot of times we preach on service, and I know. Preach more doctrine, brother. Preach more. But part of your life is for God. Glorify God in your body. Know ye not that you were bought with a price? The life that we live today is a good representation of the Lord. We are ambassadors for Christ. Just because we look nice inside the congregation and before some of the elders in the church doesn't mean that we're living right. We need to make sure within our heart that we want God. Because if we don't want God, it'll show. We talk about many children that walk away. Many people want to be parents. But many people don't raise their children the right way. Don't be surprised if you don't raise your children the right way if they walk away. It's an outward showing of you as a parent. You should have that fear. Sorry, I wrote this all upside down. Why do we do all these things? Revelation. The 21st chapter. I don't know what time it is. I got told that I went a little too fast earlier this morning. For some odd reason, I was like, oh, yeah, they got a clock here. They ain't got a clock here. You ain't got a clock here. Not in the back. I was looking for it, brother. It ain't there. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. In verse 9, he says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high, pages are sticking together, mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most jasper, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. That's that depiction of the bride. Are you ready to be a part of the bride? Will you be? Paul said, I've done the work. I've ran the race. I've fought the fight. There is a crown laid up for me. Do you know if there's a crown laid up for you? Do we know when God's coming back? No. He can come back tonight. And that could be it for you. Are you ready for that? I hope so. As we have everybody stand, I'm going to have the song leader and the piano player come up. As we turn over to Isaiah. I passed it. The 57th chapter here in verses 1 and 2. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and the merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. We have a day that we should be looking forward to. And that's that day when God takes us out of here. If we aren't prepared for it, we got a rude awakening. I hope that we're all prepared. With that, brother, what shall we sing?
Red Songbook, hymn 118.